Amen. Okay, we're in Psalm 141. Psalm 141, I just want to look at the first three verses again in Psalm 141, which reads, Lord, it's the Psalm of David, Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. And the title of my sermon this morning is Just Keep Your Mouth Shut. Just keep your mouth shut. I'm going to pray and then we're going to get going with the message, Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this teaching, this principle in your word, Lord, and one which is you know, so needed for so many of us, Lord, at so many times in life, in day-to-day life, Lord. Help us to just, everyone to just pay attention to this, to find a way of applying it to their lives, Lord, and for me to preach in a way that people will be able to apply it, Lord, to preach accurately and full of your spirit, Lord, and in a way that you know, everyone will be able to really just take in and listen to what your word's saying, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray all of this. Amen. Okay, so keep a finger here and turn to Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs 17. So there's a common theme in the word of God that learned keep your mouth shut is something to aspire to. Okay, it's something that it should be a goal of ours to be able to keep our mouths shut. Proverbs 17, you're turning to. Proverbs 17 and verse 28 says, in Proverbs 17, 28, even a fool when he holdeth his peace is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. So Proverbs 17, 28 is saying, even someone that's a fool, that's foolish, when they keep their mouth shut, people think, what a wise person, right? They think, how clever, you know, people that just sit there with their mouth shut, they've got nothing to say. And people sometimes think, that's a wise person, right? And people that keep them shut, it's not just that they're wise, they think they must understand a lot. And you know, a lot of the time they actually do. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes people that don't really have much to say, right? But sometimes it's because they're wise enough, they're clever enough to keep their mouth shut in many different situations at many different times. It's an ability that some have more than others for varying reasons, okay? And there's a few reasons I was thinking of off the top of my head why some people are able to keep their mouths shut more than others. For some, like I said, there's just nothing going on much in their heads, okay? Like for some, there's not much between the ears. It's just easy to keep your mouth shut when there's not really nothing. You know, the cogs are turning, the smoke's coming out of the ears, trying to think of how to respond. It's easier just to keep your mouth shut, right? For others, though, there's so much wickedness going on inside their heads that it's like a defense mechanism. It's like, if I just don't say anything, keep my mouth zip shut, don't say much, just generally don't say anything, people won't work out how wicked I really am, right? That's another way another reason I think sometimes people don't say much. For some, maybe they grew up in an abusive home, right? And you know, you can think of various different reasons why maybe the safest thing was to just withdraw. It was like a defense thing. It was a way of just not really getting themselves into grief, into trouble, maybe a very violent or an aggressive home somewhere where there was a lot of problems. It was just easier to keep your mouth shut. It was safer to keep your mouth shut. There are some that find it difficult, though, and this can be for varying reasons. Some just love the sound of their own voice. There's people out there that just, you know, when they're talking, they're just thinking, I'm just so great. Everyone needs to hear me because I just say some really important, interesting things. There are those, though, that just like communicating. Okay, some people are communicators. They like chatting. They like joking. They like socializing. So it's just more natural to talk. Maybe they've grown up in a very social setting or whatever it is. Maybe they've just inherited that sort of thing as well. Some want to just get on. There are people that are just pleasers. They want to get on with people. They want to avoid awkward silences. So they're just used to filling gaps because it can feel a bit awkward. It can feel uncomfortable. It's just easier to talk when that happens. And then there are even those and the extreme of those that have learnt to keep their mouth shut as a way of getting other people to overtalk. Okay. And there are people out there like that. I've come across these people before where they're just so good at getting you to talk by just keeping quiet, ask a couple of questions, keep quiet and just let a gap filler talk. Okay, so communication is important now, okay? So God doesn't want or expect us to just live in near silence, okay? So don't come away from this sermon never talking to anyone ever again and just keeping your mouth completely shut in all sorts of situations, okay? But there are times in life when we all need to learn to just keep our mouth shut. There are many times in life where you just need to learn to keep your mouth shut. Look down at Psalm 141, and it said here in verse 1, it was the Psalm of David. He said, Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. So David is saying that he's crying out to God, okay? He's asking him to be quick to hear him, to take pleasure in his prayer, to have respect unto it. Then he said this in verse 3, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. So his prayer is for God to guard his mouth, to control what does it, does it come out of it. And that's a prayer that we should all probably regularly make. That's a good prayer to make, isn't it? Just regularly pray to God to just guard your mouth, help you to say the right things, help for the right things to come out of your mouth. You can make that as a regular prayer. That could be your morning prayer. That could be your evening prayer. That could be your daytime prayer. That could be all your prayers if you wanted. You could just add that in if maybe it's a problem for you. But you could also pray that before awkward discussions. You could pray that before awkward situations. So if you know you're about to go into an awkward kind of situation, maybe with an awkward person, maybe in an awkward time, that's a good thing you could do, is you could pray to God and say, God, please just guard my mouth, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. But you could also even pray it during situations. So don't forget that you can pray, maybe not audibly, okay, if you're in the middle of a conversation with someone, don't interrupt it with a quick prayer out to God. Don't be like the Muslims that need everyone to hear and listen and watch their prayers. But you could maybe pray in your head, look, just help me with what I say right now. Just guard my mouth, Lord. Help me with what I'm going to say in this situation. I've done this many times. I will continue to do that. Sometimes I'm in awkward conversations, awkward situations. I call out to God in the middle of that. I try not to make it a long prayer, otherwise I'm not listening to the conversation. But sometimes it says, just help me right now, Lord, you know, guard my mouth. Help me to deal with this in the right way, or to say the right things. But it's one thing, okay, to pray to God, what comes out of your mouth. But this is a lot more successful when your default is to keep your mouth shut. So you could pray to God, but if your default is just to say everything that comes in your mind, to talk all the time, to just, you know, constantly just respond with your words, then this can be a bit harder to then keep your mouth shut. Think of it like a bag, okay? If your bag is unzipped and open and it's just full of things regularly coming out of it, whatever bag it is, whether it's ladies, your handbag, whether it's men, you've got a man bag, maybe it's a rucksack, all right? Maybe it's like one of those bum bag things, whatever, right? If whatever bag it is, maybe it's a carrier bag, yeah? If things are just constantly coming out of them, yeah, then you're more likely to drop something, aren't you? You're more likely to lose something. You're more likely to even have someone take something out of it. If it's just constantly just full up, things are coming in and out all the time. It's open, it's being used a lot. Okay, but if you've zipped it up and put the luggage lock on it, okay, now you have the control. You choose what does and doesn't come out of it. So if your default is just to learn to just be a little bit more guarded, a little bit clever, a little bit more sensible with your mouth, maybe you're less likely to then have something come out which is a problem, right? Now, it's not a problem if you're somewhere safe and sound. It shouldn't be. And it's nice sometimes to just be in a safe, sound environment, okay, in your home, around people you trust. But there are times when that bag needs shutting, and there's times when that mouth needs shutting, okay? And if the default is shut, then like I said, there's more chance then of keeping it shut at those key times. So if the default is some control, is to be less impulsive with your mouth, you're more likely to be able to shut it when it's really important, okay? And there are some key times in life when you just need to keep your mouth shut, okay? There are some key times. So today, I want to go through some of those times that I was thinking of when I made these notes, okay? When you've got to try even harder, when you basically got to just try to zip your mouth, you just got to zip it, you just got to shut it, okay? Turn to Proverbs chapter 15. The title is Just Keep Your Mouth Shut. And point number one is just keep your mouth shut when your spouse is angry. Okay, just keep your mouth shut when your spouse is angry. Now, this is marriage survival basics. Okay, for everyone out there, and I'm preaching of men and women here, okay? Okay, and don't worry, men, you can ask your wives, it's okay to amen if you like. Okay, but I'm preaching to everyone, all right? Okay, this is survival basics. Just keep your mouth shut. Okay, husbands and wives, okay? I'm not just talking about women submitting. I'm also talking about men loving their wives too, okay? Because, look, you don't have to necessarily, you don't have to refuse to speak, but less is often better, isn't it? Okay, so in situations, in contentious times, when a spouse is angry, sometimes it is good just to keep it shut, or at least to say a lot less. And if it's shut, what you do say might be a little bit more useful, right? Look at Proverbs 15:1. It says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. So if you want to help turn away your loved one's wrath, try a soft answer, unless your goal is to stir up anger. And then that would go for both. So you could go, oh, you see, my wife needs to submit. I can't believe it. But husbands, you love your wives. If you're not just giving a soft answer when your wife is angry, when your wife is wound up about something, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Or do we want our wives to be full of wrath? But wives, do you want your husbands to be full of wrath? Do you want to just provoke them even more and then go, see, you're not loving me? You know, so look, what's our goal? Our goal is to love each other. Our goal is to get the best out of each other. We should try our best. And a soft answer, and you know when a soft answer is so much easier, is when that mouth is in a shut position. You have more time to think about, what am I going to say in this situation, this difficult time, to help my wife or to help my husband in this, you know, at this point in time. Now, like I said, this is obviously key to spouses, but it applies to all our loved ones, really, doesn't it? Yeah, you know, when there's loved ones, when there's people that you care about, a soft answer, in fact, it should really apply to most people. Sometimes we just need to remember a soft answer turneth away wrath. And if we're going out to love other people and try and get them saved and preach the gospel, sometimes we've got to learn to just give a soft answer when someone's getting wound up and worked up by us or worked up by us daring to come with the gospel to their door, you know, something offensive like that. Sometimes a soft answer will turn away that wrath, won't it? But the grievous words will stir up anger, and then are they likely to get saved next year or the year after? Are they likely to go away and maybe look at that invite? Probably not. So it should be to all our loved ones, but I would say with spouses, this can be a big problem, okay? But ladies, if you're wise as well, you're going to pacify the king of your house. So it's not just for men with wives. If you're wise, you're going to want to pacify that king. Proverbs 16, you're in Proverbs, look at chapter 16 and verse 14, says the wrath of a king is as messengers of death, but a wise man will pacify it. And look, men, you should be the king of your house, okay? You should be leading your house. You should be the ruler there, the leader of that household. But a wise follower, a wise wife will try and pacify that king when it's needed, okay? And when it comes to pacifying them, having some control over your mouth is important, wives, isn't it? Being able to keep your mouth shut, to not say everything you can to upset and needle and hurt and everything else, because you're now offended, it's good just to keep that mouth shut. Pacify that king when he's starting to get angry, because otherwise it all goes wrong in a household, doesn't it? Often, you know, when the man starts losing it, things go downhill, all right? And the household can turn into a war zone, all right? Okay, so sometimes, you know what can be pacifying as well in life? Silence. Silence can be pacifying, can't it? You know, it's that some people just crave silence. And you know what? When someone's wound up, a lot of the time they just need you to be silent. They need you to be quiet. They need you to just keep your mouth shut. But this isn't a one-way street, okay? So, like I said, if we're loving our wives, Should we be stirring up their anger when we can avoid it? I don't think that's loving your wife. Well, should we be stirring up their anger while shouting, submit, submit, woman? Probably not loving your wife. Or maybe telling them how ungodly they are whilst they're wound up. Is that turning away the wrath of that loved one? I'd say no, especially when Proverbs 21 verse 9 tells us that this is not a good place to be, okay? So just for your own good, even if you're not talking about loving your wife, yeah, I don't care about her anyway. I'm going to needle her when she's angry. Well, you ain't going to have a good time of it, because Proverbs 21 9 says, it is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. So you're better off hidden up there on the roof, okay? You're better hidden in the corner of the rooftop than you are with your wife brawling, basically. Okay, so if your wife's getting wound up, you're best just to keep your mouth shut, get out of there, escape. Okay, have an escape route planned. Preparation is important. Proverbs 21:19 says, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. So now there are a few ways to apply these verses, but one application is that you'd be better off in the desert than getting your wife to this point, wouldn't you? You'd be better off staying out, living in the desert, than getting your wife to the point where she's contentious and angry, because that's not a good place to be. That's not a nice situation to have in your household. So you want to try and avoid that, men. And do you know what? How often the best way to avoid that is if your wife is wound up about something, and yeah, shock, horror, wives get wound up sometimes, keep your mouth shut. Just keep your mouth shut. Let them calm down, deal with it afterwards, okay? And the good start is that when it comes to either spouse seeing the wrath building, just keeping it shut. You don't have to have the last word, do you? Okay, that's not the right time to point out each other's failings. Okay, it's like, right, they're wound up. Time to tell you all about yourself now. Oh, look at you, you know. Does it ever solve anything? Does it ever achieve anything? Of course not. It's not the time to let your fragile little ego get the better of you. It's, I will not be spoken to like that, right? That's it. I can't believe you've looked at me like that, you know. And look, we can all let our fragile egos get the better of us. Very little gets solved sensibly, does it, when anger kicks in? In reality, when the anger kicks in, when you get wound up or when they're wound up, do you just solve things? Do you come up with plans that just change, you know, things for the best? No, okay? Most of the time, it all goes downhill. Very, very few well-thought-out plans are made when someone's wrathful, okay? Because wrath is when it's really going, all right? When your spouse is angry, just keep your mouth shut and deal with the problem when things are calmer, okay? Just get that on your mind. Keep your mouth shut, keep your mouth shut. Wait till people are calm. That's a good time to discuss things, isn't it, yeah? Hey, how do you keep your mouth shut, though? You're going, well, this is easier said than done, because I've got a problem with this, Pastor Tabernacle. How do I keep my mouth shut? Well, pray like David did in Psalm 141. He said, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. He prayed to God to help him with this, didn't he? He said, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. He said, basically, Lord, just keep an eye on it and keep that mouth shut. He said, keep the door of my lips. I need you, God, to keep that shut, because I can't do it on my own. I need you. We need God's help in so many situations. Keeping your mouth shut is something that often you need God's help with. Pray it regularly. Pray it before contentious times when you see them boiling, and pray it even during contentious times, yeah? Turn to Colossians chapter 3. The title is Just Keep Your Mouth Shut. And I want you to come away from this sermon with that etched in your mind. Just keep your mouth shut, yeah? We all need help with this in many areas. Just keep your mouth shut, number one, when your spouse is angry. Number two, just keep your mouth shut when your parents are angry, kids. Yeah, kids, you ain't getting away with this one today, okay? Just keep your mouth shut when your parents are angry. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 18 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Yeah, wives, keep your mouth shut. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Husbands, keep your mouth shut too. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Kids, keeping your mouth shut is a skill that's much better to learn early. Learn it early when life's so much easier and all you have to do is keep it shut. Yeah, simple. He said in Colossians 3:20 to obey them in all things. And I'll tell you something that's disobedient. Okay, whinging, moaning, complaining, arguing back, talking back, answering back, having to have some little last word, some little comment. That's not obedience. It's clearly not obedience. It's, you, do you know what it is? It's the opposite of obedience. What's the opposite of obedience? Rebelliousness. It's rebelliousness. Now, you might not be able to physically, you know, to physically, basically refuse to do what you've been told to do by your parents. You're like, well, they're bigger than me. They're just going to put me in that place they've told me, or they're going to spank my bottom or something. But you talking back, you arguing, you saying things, that's rebelliousness. It's rebellion, pure and simple. Just because you, well, I can't quite get away with just refusing, you're borderline doing that with your mouth. Keep a finger here and turn to 1 Samuel 15. There's nothing obedient about some self-important young child, kid or teen, having to have the last word, mouthing off, arguing with their parents. That's not obeying. Pure and simple, clear as day, it's disobedience. In 1 Samuel 15, Samuel said this to Saul. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 22 says, and Samuel said, have the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Let me tell you one of the ways that you kids obey the voice of the Lord. By obeying your parents like he told you to. Like the Lord told you to. You're disobeying the voice of the Lord if you're disobeying your parents. Doesn't matter what you think. You're wrong. You're disobeying, and you're disobeying God. Because when you don't do, when you don't do that, okay, when you don't do what he tells you to do, you're not just rebelling against your parents. Obviously, you're therefore rebelling against the Lord. And he said in verse 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. So kids, listen, right? When you disobey your parents, it's as if you were practicing black magic. It's that serious. when you're disobeying, when you're having to disobey with your words, with your mouth, with your voice, it's serious. It's a big deal. It's not, oh, well, never mind. It's, now, don't get me wrong, most kids do it. Most kids, some kids, it takes longer to get them out of it. Some kids, it's shorter. Some kids are a bit more disobedient than others. Some kids might seem obedient, but instead they're off just thieving things and getting out of their system in other ways. Whatever it is, okay, when you're disobeying clear commands, it's as the sin of witchcraft. He's making that clear how serious it is. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. When you refuse to submit like you're told to, okay, when you want to be stubborn and convince yourself that you know best, kids, it's as iniquity and idolatry, okay? You're putting yourself above your parents and above God, basically. You think that you're more important, you know best, that forget what God says, I'm more important, I'm up here. And you know what? God hates idolatry. God hates idolatry. Do you know what he likes to happen to idols? They get smashed down. You don't want to get smashed down, kids, okay? And the thing is, being a child is so simple, okay? Do as you're told and you'll be so much happier. It really is simple. Being a child is quite a simple job. Many of us adults, we look back and go, if only I was a child again, because that was a simple life. There was very few serious decisions to make. There were very few really difficult things still. Yet at the time, they feel like that. But when you look back, you realise, wow, all I had to do is just do as I was told. And life would have been so much easier, so much simpler, so much more enjoyable if I'd just done as I was told. And in Colossians 3:20, God said through the Apostle Paul, Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And that includes, by the way, where maybe you feel like your parents are being irrational with anger, where maybe the punishment seems a bit harsh to you. Oh, all-knowing, all-seeing children out there that seem to be so wise sometimes about how your parents should be doing things. Well, you know what? You should just obey them in all things. And that's when you prove whether you're really obedient. It's when it's things that you don't agree with. It's easy to obey when you already agree. Yeah, I'm not obeying anything if I'm just doing something that I already want to do, I'm already happy to do, I already agree with. It's obedience when it's what you don't agree with. That's when you're obedient, is when you say, yeah, I don't agree in my mind. I don't think maybe that's right. But you know what? God told me obey my parents in all things. So I'm just going to do it. And the best thing is that when you get it right, he said, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. You're well-pleasing unto the Lord. Isn't that something that you aspire to be, kids? That's something that we should all be aspiring to be, well-pleasing unto the Lord. So when your parents are angry, just keep your mouth shut, okay? And show that it's a genuine obedience. That's how you show that your obedience is genuine. How do you keep your mouth shut? Pray like David did in Psalm 141. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. That's something else I want you to memorize by the end of this sermon. It will be this verse. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Pray it regularly. Pray it before. Pray it during. Pray it in every day, kids. Pray it before awkward situations, when you're about to be punished, when there's about to be an issue, some contention, and even pray it during, when you're starting to feel that mouth open and that desire to say something, to feel like you're getting some last word or some sort of way of fighting back or whatever it is. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. The title is Just Keep Your Mouth Shut. Number one, just keep your mouth shut when your spouse is angry. Number two, just keep your mouth shut when your parents are angry. And point number three, just keep your mouth shut when your boss is angry. Just keep your mouth shut when your boss is angry. Okay, in 1 Peter 2, Peter said in verse 18, servants, okay, servants, we would maybe say employees, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. So he said, basically, if you're an employee in one way or another, and if you're self-employed, well, your customer's pretty much your employer, do as you're told, yeah? Within reason, obviously, as a self-employed, okay, but you look, if you've chosen as someone as a customer self-employed, they've become your boss for a while to some degree within the parameters of your job. And same with people in the workplace. Within the parameters of your job, within what's in your contract, obviously, if your employer tells you to go and sin, don't do that. But within the Lord, he said, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also forward. So he said, give your employer the fear and the respect that you would give God. So if God was here now, if the Lord Jesus Christ walked in here and said, right, guys, everyone here, right, you do this job, you're doing this job, you do that, you just do as you're told, right? And it's the same if he walked into the workplace. If the Lord Jesus Christ employed you in the workplace and told you to do something, you'd do it, wouldn't you? I hope you would. We should all want to do that. Well, Colossians 3:23 says, and whatsoever ye do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. So everything we do, we should be doing as unto the Lord, and that includes in the workplace, right? It's as if you're working for God. You should be a shining light. You should be an example in the workplace. You should be doing the best possible job you can, working as unto God, whether your boss is a good boss or a froward boss, it said here in 1 Peter 2:18. He said, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. And froward is basically someone unyielding, non-compliant. And as we've seen, as we've gone through the book of Proverbs, it could even be used to describe reprobates as well. So even if you've got a reprobate boss, now don't get me wrong, it might be sensible to look for a new job if you think this isn't workable, this isn't tenable. But while you're employed, whilst you're being paid to do a job, you're working as unto the Lord. Even if your boss is wicked, you should still be working as unto. No, you shouldn't be sinning if he tells you to sin. You shouldn't be going and doing dishonest things. You shouldn't be choosing to do bad stuff. However, you should be working as unto the Lord. And this isn't just about when you've been, you know, when you've done something wrong, okay? When you're being told off for something justified, going, oh, okay, fair enough. He said in verse 19, for this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you should take it patiently, but if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. He's saying that basically, even when you do well, when you've done nothing wrong and you're getting grief in the workplace, maybe your boss is moaning at you and you've felt like, yeah, I had done a good job though. I did do my best in that job. Just keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut. He's your boss. Keep your mouth shut. Submit to your boss. Don't get into that all, you know, how dare he talk to me like that attitude. A lot of people get like that, don't they? They forget they're being paid. They forget that he's the boss. They forget that they're paid to do a job and to submit and to the boss in the workplace. And then they get all prideful. Hey, you know, you better not talk to me like that. Why not? He's your boss. He pays your bills. If you don't like it, get a new job, but carry on working as unto the Lord while you're there. He's the governor. Basically, if you start feeling like that, you need to toughen up. You need to toughen up. Stop being a snowflake. Stop. I just can't believe someone spoke to me like that in the workplace. Oh, I'm so tough, or I'm so whatever, or I'm so much better than him. How dare he talk to me like that? Sort yourself out, right? He's a boss. He's a boss. Treat him like the boss. You're not too special to get a telling off. None of us are. Sometimes we all need a telling off to even get mistreated sometimes. You're not too special for that. Sometimes you're going to get mistreated. Sometimes it's going to feel unfair. Sometimes it's going to feel like, I can't believe that happened. But you know what? Your work is unto the Lord. You just do as you're told. You should be submitting even to the forward boss. He said in verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. The God of this world didn't say, how dare they talk to me like that. The God of this world, he who created all things were created by him, without him was not anything made that was made. Yet, he just let them. He let them revile him and he didn't revile back. When he suffered, he threatened not. And he did all of that to be an example to all of us. So we should be able to go into a workplace and have sometimes feel like, well, that was a bit unfair, and not get, you know, our knickers in a twist and start getting in fights and rows and whatever else, or, you know, walking out or taking sickies to like get our own back or anything else. Just work as unto the Lord, right? When your boss is angry, just keep your mouth shut. Deal with it as you would if it was God himself. How do you keep your mouth shut? What did David say in Psalm 141? Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Again, you can pray it regularly. You can pray it before. And you can pray it during times when it's hard. Just keep your mouth shut. Turn to Numbers chapter 14. The title is, just keep your mouth shut. Point number one, just keep your mouth shut when your spouse is angry. Point number two, just keep your mouth shut when your parents are angry. Point number three, just keep your mouth shut when your boss is angry. And point number four, just keep your mouth shut when you're being tried. Just keep your mouth shut when you're being tried, okay? Now, when I say when you're being tried, I mean when you're in a trial. But whether it's chastisement or not, whether it's of God or your own doing, whatever it is, when you're going through a hard time, when you're going through a trial, just keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut. Don't complain. Don't charge God foolishly. Don't murmur. In 1 Corinthians 10:10, Paul said this, "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer." That was 1 Corinthians 10:10. And do you know what he's talking about? He's referring to what happened here in Numbers 14, where you've just heard, where the children of Israel are murmuring. They're complaining during a trial. They've just sent 12 men to spy out the promised land, okay? And they've come back to cause trouble. 10 of the 12 are basically trying to put everyone off, okay? They're trying to demoralize the people. And this is something that obviously we need to watch out for in a Christian life, okay? People often will just try and demoralize you, try and put you off, try and demoralize what we do as a church, try and demoralize you about soul winning, try and demoralize you about the church, try and demoralize you about, you know, various aspects of the Christian life, demoralize you about doing things God's way, and try and make you think that that must have been the wrong way, there's a problem with that and everything else. You've got to watch out for demoralising, okay? And this is what these guys are doing here. 10 out of the 12, by the way, are guilty of demoralising out of the 10 men that were chosen to do this. That's a large amount of people were a problem here, barring Caleb and Joshua. Said in Numbers 13:32, just before we go into chapter 14, so it said, "And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature." Then Numbers 14, we're going to jump forward to Numbers 14, verse 1 says, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night." So they're genuinely upset, aren't they? Yeah, they're genuinely upset. They're emotional. But does that then make it okay to murmur? Look at verse 2, "And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness." Excuse me. So they're complaining about the leadership, okay, that God had given them. And really, when you're doing that, you're just complaining about God. They're just saying, would God. They're basically saying, you know, it seems like God, I think this is what they're saying, it seems like God would have had us die in the land of Egypt. God would have probably been happy for us to die in this wilderness. They're just complaining about God, really. They're complaining about what they've been given, what God's given them. "And wherefore have the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword?" Now it's just directly at God. It's the same thing. "That our wives and our children should be a prey. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?" So this is like the Christians out there complaining about their Christian lives. Okay, and they're everywhere, right? Complaining about serving God. "Oh, it's just such a hard time. Oh, I just can't believe that I've got to drive 30 minutes to church. It's an hour. It's 2 hours. It's such a hard life. I can't believe that I just can't be back in Egypt, back in all those past wicked sins that were ruining my life." And so many people, what do so many Christians do? They put on the rose-tinted glasses, don't they? Suddenly it was all so much better before. They forget all the stuff that happened before, all the wickedness, all the stuff they were dealing with in their part in the old days before they were serving God. And then suddenly it was all so much better. It was all so much rosier. Verse 4 says, "And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt." So they want to return to the bondage of sin, basically. That's what the picture is, to the bondage of Egypt. They're like, yeah, well, it's just, you know, so it's such hard work, this reading a Bible for like 15, 20, 30 minutes, whatever it is each day, an hour even. Oh, I just can't believe it. It's such hard work, this going soul winning once or twice a week for a couple of hours a week, maybe a few hours a week. I just can't do it. It's such hard work going to that church where most of them go soul winning. I just can't deal with it anymore. Let's just go back to the pub. Let's just go back to the drugs. Let's just go back to the fornication. Let's just go back to all the wickedness of the world. I mean, what on earth, right? But isn't that standard? Isn't that what we see out there? So often, right? They said one to another, let us make a captain, let us return into Egypt. Basically, we're going to stop submitting to God's leadership and we're going to decide that we know best. Make yourself a captain, make whoever it is a captain, and I'm just going to go back to the world, right? Back to the world. Instead, what should they do? Instead, they just need to keep their mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut. It starts with the mouth. It always starts with the mouth. Proverbs 21:23 says, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue, keepeth his soul from troubles. If you keep it shut, when you start to feel like that, when you start to feel to murmur, you start to feel to complain, you start to feel like, I need to get this out, get my, you know, and you start, the tongue starts wanting to work and you can feel it all boiling up, just keep it shut. Don't verbalise it, keep it shut. If they'd kept it shut, it wouldn't have ended up going for them how it does in a minute. Because what was the result of this murmuring against God? Verse 26, jump forward to verse 26 in Numbers 14, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? It's the murmuring. I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Again, it's what they're saying. It's what's coming out of their mouth. Look, people have wicked thoughts. Look, many people, look, when we preach the gospel to people, a lot of people talk about the thought of foolishness and say, look, we all have bad, we all have foolish thoughts. But you know what you need to do with them? You just need to squash them, not start letting them come out your mouth. Because the other thing is when you start verbalising something, I think often you want to validate it more then to justify that you verbalised it. So then you start convincing yourself it's true. Whereas when it's a thought, you could just squash it and remind yourself, yeah, what a load of nonsense. What am I talking about? What, like looking back, you know, looking at whatever it is in your past life. That was wickedness, wasn't it? What a load of filth and everything else. What a load of just God-rejecting nonsense. Why would I ever want to be back there? And you could just squash that straight away. But when you start to verbalise it, then you start to want to support it and validate it and back it up. He said, your carcasses in verse 29 shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. It's the murmurers. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. They were the two that didn't. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. The reason they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness was because of murmuring. It's because they didn't keep their stupid mouth shut. That's what it was about. So when you're being tried, just keep your mouth shut. Or what are you doing? Really, you're just murmuring against God. Whether it's chastisement, whether it's a trial of life, whether it's some sort of tribulation, whether it's even of your own doing, when you're complaining and moaning, you're just murmuring against God. Just keep your mouth shut. How do you keep your mouth shut? Well, pray like David did, like we saw in Psalm 141. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Pray it regularly. Pray it during. Pray it before. Just pray it. Pray that prayer. Pray that prayer and keep your mouth shut. Turn to Isaiah 53. The title is, just keep your mouth shut. Just keep your mouth shut when your spouse is angry. Just keep your mouth shut when your parents are angry. Just keep your mouth shut when your boss is angry. Just keep your mouth shut when you're being tried. And number five, just keep your mouth shut when you're being persecuted. Just keep your mouth shut when you're being persecuted. Now, persecution is part of the Christian life. It's a part of the Christian life if you're trying to live the Christian life, okay? It's just, they go hand in hand. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you're living godly in Christ Jesus, you will suffer persecution. There's no point looking at people going through persecution, other things going, must have brought it on themselves. Well, yeah, I hope they have. I hope they have by living godly in Christ Jesus. Okay, that's just a part of it. You're going to get persecuted if you're living godly in Christ Jesus. Now, it comes in different shapes and sizes, okay? But a good standard, a good starting point to work from, okay, with when you're going through persecution is to just keep your mouth shut. Now, after that, there are times when you do need to sometimes answer things, deal with things in a wise way. But if your standard is the mouth is shut, you're going to usually do it in a wiser way, in a more controlled way, in a better way. In Isaiah 53, okay, he's prophesying of the coming Saviour, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Isaiah 53:7 says it like this, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Now we read earlier, you don't have to turn there, but in 1 Peter 2:21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. And part of that was keeping his mouth shut during horrendous persecution. Persecution like none of us have ever been through, and the Lord Jesus Christ kept his mouth zipped shut. He opened not his mouth like a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And there's some steps we should be following, aren't they? Okay, we should be following those steps of keep your mouth shut, learning to deal with persecution without having to row and argue and say something back and have the last word and, you know, and constantly just answering all sorts and all forms of persecution. When the family, when the workplace, when the old persecution comes, often it's best to just ignore it, by the way. Sometimes it's just best to ignore it. And I kind of learned that over the years. A lot of the time with persecution, it's easier just to just ignore it. And it kind of starts to go. Whereas when you think, well, I need to say something, I need to do something, I need to take this fight on and everything else, a lot of the time it just becomes a distraction, it becomes a problem, it doesn't suddenly stop. Often it's as if you're being set up as well. So often persecution, if you've noticed in various areas of your life, people are trying to get a reaction out of you. Okay, the persecution is to get you to respond and to get you to say something, to get you to do something that's not in the right way, so then they can accuse you with something more legitimate. Or whether it's legitimate or not, they just want to accuse you, they want something, they want to get something from you. When you're soul winning, for example, if someone gives you some mouth, yeah, and it does happen, doesn't it? Sometimes you're out soul winning and people say things, people do things, people treat you in a nasty way, you get some form of persecution. Now, it's not like Jesus Christ suffered necessarily, it's not like maybe the apostles suffered, but, you know, for us, yeah, look, it's all kind of relative, it can feel like persecution. Do you know what the answer is? Most of the time, just keep your mouth shut. Just keep your mouth shut. Because does it ever get solved by us fighting back, saying things back, and maybe plan that soft answer that turneth away wrath then? If your mouth's automatically shut and you're calm and you're not just like, say something back, you know, say something cutting, say something that's going to get some sort of result, then a lot of the time then you're more able to give that soft answer. But look, sometimes it's not just out soul winning. Sometimes it is, and sometimes it can get to full slander. Sometimes it can get to people just making up full lies about you. And not just for pastors, not just for people in the ministry, for people in their home lives, for people out, you know, when you're going home, when you're amongst other people in the workplace, for example, it could just get to that point, can't it? Where people are literally just lying, they're slandering, they're just trying to convince people of lies. And sometimes, often, it's best just still to just keep your mouth shut. Just keep your mouth shut. Go back to Psalm 39. Go to Psalm 39. Now, there is a time sometimes to call out the wicked, okay? So, of course, there's a time when they need calling out. We see the examples in the Bible of men of God and even the Lord Jesus Christ himself calling out wicked people. There's a time as a pastor to protect the sheep. So sometimes people need naming, they need shaming, there needs to be, or sometimes certain allegations sometimes need responding to, because you can see people starting to get doubt or maybe get their heads turned, things like that. But it's not every time. A lot of the time, it's easier, it's better just to ignore the nonsense, because a lot of the time, a lot of attackers are just narcissists that want a platform and they want a way of then having some sort of to and fro and back and forth, whereas a lot of the time, they're just scum. They're scum that don't even warrant anything like that. James 4:7 says, you're turning to Psalm 39, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And that's something you need to remember in other areas, in your workplace sometimes. Sometimes you might have some persecutor in your workplace, some reprobate that just is on your case, that wants to try and find fault with you. Sometimes just keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut. And a lot of the time they'll just expose themselves. Often the persecution is designed to try to get you to slip, to fall. And that's so often by what? By what comes out of your mouth. Now, obviously, some persecutors would just love you to get physical. They'd love you to get violent. They'd love you to do something that they can go, look at that person now. And they're trying to provoke a lot of the time a reaction, they're trying to provoke a response, but often it's just by getting you to say something out of your mouth. And that's not very loving, is it? How often do you get that? How often have you gone out soul winning, someone's antagonised you, you say something back, so-called man of God. I had a guy do this, a sodomite, a while back, giving my wife a load of grief and abuse when she was out soul winning, and then I saw him pulled up in the van, got out the van to just, you know, telling me he was a low-life scumbag, and suddenly it's like, oh, so-called man of God. And it's like, you've literally been following them around shouting stuff at them. And because I've got out of hand, suddenly I'm this wicked person for standing up for my wife, right? And that's, but they just want something, don't they? It's just provoke, get something back, so then they can accuse me even more. Psalm 39, said in verse 1, to the chief musician, even to Jeduthun, a psalm of David, I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. David said, I will keep my mouth with a bridle, which in a way is like a muzzle, isn't it, really? While the wicked is before me. And this is one of the most important times to watch your mouth, okay? Because sometimes and often the wicked are just desperate to get something to work with. Desperate to get something to misuse, desperate to get something to accuse you of, some weakness, some half-truth to bend, some bad reaction to the persecution to then have a more legitimate thing to accuse you with. And that's where you've got to understand, that's when, so important, keep your mouth shut. Just keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut and keep your back straight and you can deal with it. And so often we want to fight back, we want to say something, we want to do stuff, and then it just makes it worse. Revelation 12:10, you'd have to turn it, says of the devil, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuse them before our God day and night. That's exactly what his children do. They accuse you, they accuse you, they accuse you, they want stuff on you, they want stuff to accuse you of, and when they're persecuting you, they're just waiting for more stuff to accuse you of. That's why David said in verse 2 in Psalm 39, I was dumb with silence, I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. And sometimes it's hard to take. Sometimes it takes its toll on you, okay, dealing with this sort of thing. He said, my heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. But who did he speak to? What did he do? Well, look at verse 4. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. That's the answer. He's calling out to God and basically humbling himself, saying, God, I need you. Help me. I'm going through this. I'm having people saying this stuff, dealing, you know, talking lies about me, maybe about your family, maybe about, you know, things you've done, things you haven't done. People are persecuting you in one way or another. And what did he do when he opened his mouth, when he spoke with his tongue? He called out to God. So when you're being persecuted, just keep your mouth shut. Or you know what happens? You just make things worse. You just make things worse most of the time. How do you keep your mouth shut? Back to what David said in Psalm 141. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Pray it regularly. Pray it before. Pray it during. Yeah. When you're going through stuff, when you're going through persecution, just keep your mouth shut. Go back to Psalm 141. The title is Just Keep Your Mouth Shut. Number one, just keep your mouth shut when your spouse is angry. Number two, just keep your mouth shut when parents are angry. Number three, just keep your mouth shut when your boss is angry. Number four, just keep your mouth shut when you're being tried. Number five, just keep your mouth shut when you're being persecuted. Number six, just keep your mouth shut when you're being interrogated. Just keep your mouth shut when you're being interrogated. Now, sometimes it's outright persecution, but sometimes it's a lot more subtle. Psalm 64:6 says, they search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search. The inward thoughts of every one of them in the heart is deep. Now, this is another part of the Christian life, okay, that you just need to wise up about, okay? People subtly trying to set you up. People trying to, now, it's not always outright persecution. It's not always outright slander. It's just people trying to set you up. Trying to find something, trying to get you in some, to say something, to get something that they can work with. And now that can be, like I said before, in the workplace. It can be in the church house. And it can also be, like I said, in the highways and hedges as well. Sometimes when you're out there, you're preaching the gospel, suddenly what happens? The family or friend suddenly pipes up with, so what do you think about sodomites then? But they usually won't say sodomites. What do you think about gay people? What do you think about the LGBTQ or something else? So, it, you know, really what they're doing, do they really interested in your opinion about this? No, they're just trying to set you up. They're just trying to get something to work with from you. They're just trying to interrogate you. Your co-worker finds out you're a Christian. You're a Bible-believing Baptist. So then the next question at some point is, well, what do you think about trans people then? What do you think about women in the workplace? What do you think, or something else? And it's, do they really care? Are they really interested because they want to have a nice, healthy discussion about it? They're just trying to set you up. They're just trying to set you up. The so-called Christian, maybe in church or out of church, that wants to know every single aspect of your life. They're just trying to set you up. They're just trying to find stuff on you. They're trying to work with stuff. Sometimes they're just freaky and they're just literally trying to find stuff to copy, because there are complete psychos out there that literally want to copy every aspect of your life. That's freaky to think about, and they're out there, okay? Believe me. Psalm 141 and verse 1 is the Psalm of David says, Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Psalm 141, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and lifting up of my hands as evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. So he said, keep me away from these wicked people. Keep me away from their flattery, from their gifts. He said, let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness. And let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head, for yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. That's what preaching is for, isn't it? That's why we come to the house of God, for the righteous to smite you, for him to reprove you. Okay, that's a good thing. And it seems he's saying that he'll return the favour with prayer. He said, for yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. Okay, we come to be amongst each other, to uplift each other. Sometimes you need to help each other with gentle reproof. Sometimes, obviously, it will come from the pulpit as well. Sometimes it will be rebuking from the pulpit. He said in verse 6, when their judges are overthrown in stony places, they shall hear my words, for they are sweet. Our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth, as when one cutteth and cleaveth wood upon the earth. So basically saying just about, I think he's just saying that, look, we're in a hard situation, okay, as believers. And nowadays you're in a hard situation, okay? You're in a situation where you need God, you need the angel of the Lord encamped around you, because there are wicked people everywhere trying to destroy your walk, trying to destroy this church, trying to destroy your family, trying to destroy so many aspects of your Christian life. He said, but mine eyes are unto thee, O God the Lord, in thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. Keep me from the snares which they have laid for me, and the gins of the workers of iniquity. Now, gins are traps laid for animals. Dave is asking God to protect him from the snares and traps that the wicked, God's enemies, lay. Now, everyone, look, this sort of thing, we have to preach regularly. One, because it's throughout the Bible. You can't preach through the Psalms without preaching through this, for example, but it's throughout the Bible. And number two, because people just don't get it. They just don't get the battle. This is what you're dealing with. If you're saved, you're working for God, you're going to deal with this. Okay? It's not just a load of paranoid preachers. Okay? It's not just a load of NIFB Christians that just want to talk about reprobates and the wicked. No, it's throughout the Bible. Throughout the Bible, and we're constantly being told, we see this man of God, David, just saying, they're surrounding me. He's saying, keep me from the snares, they're laying traps for me. The gins of the works of iniquity, there's traps, there's snares. And then people are like, yeah, well, you know, they just go overboard with all that stuff. We should just come and pat each other on the back and say, you know, I love you, see you later, go back for another week off. You know, that's not the Christian life. And do you know what? People just need to wisen up about this stuff. You know, wisen up and open your eyes, open your ears, and just see the battle that you're in. You're in a battle. You're in a battle when you're out the church of God, the house of God. Sometimes when you're in the house of God, it's just a battle. You're in a battle. You're getting trapped. You're getting snares laid for you. People trying to catch you in your words. People trying to find ways of destroying you. People trying to accuse you. All of us. That's the Christian life. And if you're not getting it, you're not living godly in Christ Jesus, basically. Or you'll be getting it soon enough anyway. That's just the Christian life. David, okay, like men, women and children God here, had multiple people wanting to trap him, wanting to snare him. You need to wisen up. Wisen up in all aspects of your life. That this is, now, you don't have to walk around like a paranoid lunatic. Okay, you don't have to, you know, go around like, you know, with like combing your house for bugs and stuff like that. Well, maybe you do, I don't know. Okay, you don't have to go crazy with it. But you know what, yeah? You need to get wise to it. You need to understand and believe God when he says this is what happens, and not just convince yourself that your whole the Christian life is this fairy tale romance or something. Because that's what people kind of, they just want to convince themselves that, and then they just can't deal with these sorts of truths. So they just kind of just like, no, can't be, no such thing, could never be happening. Well, then you're going to get snared, you're going to get trapped. Because we're constantly being warned, because David's saying, keep me from the snares which they have laid for me and the gins for the workers of iniquity. So then he prayed in verse 10, let the wicked fall into their own nets, whilst I withal escape. How do we escape these whose thoughts are deep, who plot and plan, who are trying to lay snares, lay traps, find ways of destroying us and stopping us going out? Ultimately, the job is to stop people getting people saved. Well, verse 3 is the answer. He says, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Just keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut. Control your mouth. When you're being interrogated, just keep your mouth shut, or you'll just help them with their snares. How do you keep your mouth shut? Verse 3, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Pray to God. Keep the door of my lips, God. Help me with this. Help me with this battle, Lord. Pray it as a regular prayer. Pray it before suspected issues, problems, times when you feel like people are just trying to get things out of you. You can pray it when you're soul winning and someone's just trying to get stuff out, trying to get things to accuse you of, to call you this, to call you that, to just try and find problems. And it can be in various areas of your life. Pray it during those times as well. Just pray for God to guide your words, to help your words. When you put it in God's hands, he wants to help you, right? But he wants you to put it in his hands. Turn to Proverbs 13. The title was, just keep your mouth shut. Just keep your mouth shut when your spouse is angry. Just keep your mouth shut when your parents are angry. Just keep your mouth shut when your boss is angry. Just keep your mouth shut when you're being tried. Just keep your mouth shut when you're being persecuted. Just keep your mouth shut when you're being interrogated. Just keep your mouth shut. Right. We're going to have a real quiet fellowship time after the service. Be more like sign language. But no, seriously though, you know, like, obviously, you could go overboard with that, but you need to be wise about it. And Proverbs 13:3 says it like this to finish up. He that keepeth his mouth, keepeth his life. But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Okay, and that's really what it comes down to, doesn't it? And some people need to work on this more than others, but it's something that everyone needs to work on. Okay, we all need to work on it. We all need to be wise with it. We all need to just understand, you know, this part of the Christian life, and we all need to respond to it. And on that, we're going to finish in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for, well, the fact that we have mouths. Thank you for communication. Thank you for, you know, the gift of speech and you know, the beauty of, you know, so many different languages and, you know, that we can express ourselves in so many different ways. And we thank you for that fellowship time and the ability to, you know, to have time together, to enjoy each other's talk and chat and, you know, and jokes and thoughts on things. And Lord, but just help us to be wise with our mouths as well. Help us to be sensible. Help us to learn, especially in contentious times, at problem times, where maybe the alarm bells are ringing in various areas of life, whether it's, you know, potential contentious times with loved ones, with people in the workplace or through to, you know, problem people in different parts of life that maybe want to cause us trouble. Just help us to be wise. Help us to have a default of being a bit more sensible with what we say. Keep our mouths shut when we're unsure, Lord, and not to just say things for the sake of it. Help us all with this, Lord. Help us to be wise with this. Help us to just keep this etched on our minds, Lord, and help us to be like David, who just kept praying to you for help with that, Lord. We pray that you help us as we go out soul winning to be wise with our words, to know when to talk, when not to with people, Lord. To help us to get people saved this afternoon and to return for this evening's service and the men's preaching night, and for that to be a great success. In Jesus' name we pray all of this. Amen.